This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Use the Hijab 10 discount code for 10% discount on a wide range of products, including premium Ethiopian black seed products.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? And welcome to the second of a series of refutation videos where we're going to be looking at some of the statements that Dr. Jordan Peterson has made about Islam, the Muslim contribution, other such fields in his public output. In fact, the context of this, just to remind you, if you don't already know, is that we were meant to be having a discussion. In fact, this discussion was meant to be had on three different occasions, and then he cancelled and or rescheduled three different times, culminating in the third time, which was meant to happen on the 8th of November, where he cancelled again, pulled out last minute before we had these discussions. And these are some of the things that I wanted to actually put forward to him, because these are public statements that he's made, which, to be honest with you, don't just show imprecise speech, which violates one of his rules. In fact, rule 10, I think it is, of his book, that be precise in your speech, may even violate rule 8, which is tell the truth, to be honest with you. But also aims to minimize the Muslim contribution, whitewash the Muslim contribution. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about after we see this video.
The scientific enterprise is only 300 or 400 years old. Now, you could trace its roots back to the Greeks, but not much farther than that. But let's say 2,000 to 400 years old. I'll stick with 400 for the sake of this discussion. It only emerged in one place, you know, it emerged in Western Europe, essentially. It's a delicate thing. And we don't know the conditions that were necessary to enable its existence. And we don't know what we're mucking up to stop it from continuing. No, I don't. So given its delicacy.
Now, he says that the scientific enterprise emerged in one place. It emerged in Western Europe. Now, this statement is a false statement. It's not false according to me, Muhammad Hijab. It's not false according to me, no. It's false according to some of the most eminent and prominent historians of science in the Western world, like David C. Limbuck, who wrote The Beginnings of Western Science, who dedicates, I think, two chapters it is, on the topic of Islamic science or the contribution of Islamic science. Patricia Farah, another person you can take a look at, who's also written a book, a very easily accessible, very accessible book, in fact, called Science of 4,000 Year History, where you can see a chapter written about Islam. So this is not according just to us, like as Muslims, we're trying to counter-narrative, the Western Academy. It's not even according to, quite frankly, according to Orientalists. Take a look at what Thomas Arnold Walker, who was himself an Orientalist, has to say. He says, Muslim Spain had written one of the brightest pages in the history of medieval Europe. He continues, he says, bringing birth into a new poetry and a new culture. And it was from her that Christian scholars received what of Greek philosophy and science they had to stimulate their mental activity up to the time of the Renaissance. This is a pretty strong statement from an Orientalist. And this is not even talk with this. Thomas Arnold Walker is actually an Orientalist. And he's saying this. Look at what Victor Robinson says. He says, Europe was darkest at sunset, Cordova shone with public lamps. Europe was dirty, Cordova built 1,000 baths. Europe was covered with vermin, Cordova changed its undergarments daily. Europe lay in mud, Cordova's streets were paved. Europe's palaces had smoke holes in the ceiling. And it continues. But the point is that there were times where it's very clear that in Islamic societies or Muslim societies, that there was scientific advancement. And in fact, this was inspired in part or to a large extent based on the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, based on the verses of the Quran. And this is an open secret. Once again, the Prophet told us in a very famous hadith that there was no disease that Allah has sent down illa anzala ma'ahu dawa, or kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that unless he sent with it its cure. And this acted as an incentivizing force for many of the great Islamic thinkers and medical experts, Ibn Sina or Ibn Nafis or Ibn al-Haytham, people that you may have heard their name, maybe not. Because to be honest, sometimes when I read your book, and in your first book, when you're kind of doing the apologetic work of Christianity or the Christian contribution, you were talking about in page 187, the Christian contribution, and you were saying that you said, then and only then could the problems that remained, this is Jordan Peterson's book, less amenable to quick solution by Christian doctrine, come to occupy a central place in the consciousness of the West, come to motivate, for example, the development of science. The development of science aimed at resolving the corporal material suffering that was still all too painfully extant within successfully Christianized societies. So you are giving credit, once again, to the West and or the religion, the major religion it adopted, which is Christianity, with the establishment of the scientific method. Although there is discussion about that, to what extent did Christianity inhibit the scientific method? To what extent did it bolster it or incentivize it? This is a discussion for the historians of science to talk about. But no doubt, this kind of thing minimizes and whitewashes the Muslim contribution. When you can nonchalantly say that it emerged only, very specific language here, in Western Europe. This is a false statement, Jordan Peterson. And it emphasizes, it highlights, it underlines, really, a cognitive bias that you may have towards Islam and Muslims. And this is the problem, that if we can't look at the picture holistically, then we will end up creating false narratives, which in this case is easily disproven, to be honest with you, relating to Islam and Muslim contributions relative to the West and her contributions. And with that, I conclude. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.